supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
On this first night of the new year, let's look back on Heavens Above highlights from 2017 and then make our New Year's revolutions with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, happy New Year to you.
Thank you, and happy perihelion to you.
And so before we turn the page, let's look back on some highlights from the previous year.
I think probably the one that people are most aware of was the Great American Solar Eclipse, which in August became the first eclipse, solar eclipse, total eclipse, to cross the entire United States in about 100 years. And it is said that 80% of the American population saw that eclipse in one way or another, which is miraculous for a science event for people to have participated in. And now everyone can't wait until the next one here in the United States happens, and that's in 2024. People were also very excited to learn about the Laser Interferometry Gravitational Wave Observatory. Say that five times really fast.
If they could pronounce it.
If they could. Let's just call it LIGO, okay? So LIGO actually is a new observatory that detects gravitational waves that are created by very, very massive objects colliding with each other. Very, very big collisions at great distances out across the universe. The most intriguing thing about this is not that these waves actually occur, although they were predicted by Einstein very long ago, but that Einstein himself said that we probably wouldn't be able to measure the gravitational disturbance in the space-time continuum because it would be such a low signal level. Our hats are off to the engineers who designed this equipment that has the sensitivity to be able to detect gravitational waves from these very, very distant events that opens a new chapter in how we observe the universe and what we add to the story of the universe that we already have.
Amazing. What if Einstein had that avail back when he was coming up with his theories?
I think that would have really gone a long way to help people feel far more certain about Einstein's genius. It was a thought experiment for him to come up with the idea that this kind of energy was out there in the space-time continuum, which certainly was a crazy way for people to think of the universe's structure when he first suggested it. But this would have certainly pointed to that and indicated that indeed he was correct about how the universe really is structured.
So we're detecting faint gravitational forms of energy from collisions that took place very, very far away. And by that, we mean very, very long ago.
Exactly. So the real implication here is that these events occurred, like you said, a very long time ago, very, very far away. So there's no other way for us to detect that this event actually occurred. We wouldn't know that these events occurred if it weren't for the gravitational waves that are being detected by this very, very new and sensitive instrument. There would be a whole chapter of the universe's existence that we wouldn't know about. We could certainly speculate, but we have no data about it. Now we do have data to indeed tell us that what we suspect may have been going on way out there in the dark actually did happen.
Oh my God, we've had the Great American Eclipse and we've found gravity waves. Sounds like 2018 is going to be a big letdown.
Well, not quite, because we'll have more of these detections of events that happened early in the history of the universe. But we also can look forward to continued preparation of the James Webb Space Telescope that will now be launched in early 2019, because it too is going to add to the early history of the universe, our understanding of the early history and evolution of the universe, using this revolutionary piece of equipment that's going to be set a million miles away from Earth, much more sensitive than Hubble Space Telescope is, although in a different wavelength, yet at the same time not serviceable. So it has to work when we actually set it out to be used, but it will open doors and windows to our understanding, very much like the gravity wave detectors have done, in ways that we haven't been able to do so before. We can also look forward to continued opening of the door to space through the commercial space entities like SpaceX and Blue Origin. So that will continue to push all of us toward more human exploration of space. And the Trump administration is backing this up by telling NASA that they now have a green light to go ahead with reaching out for the moon again as a way station toward our human exploration of the deeper reaches of our solar system, including that wonderful red planet Mars.
So let's bundle up. What's available to be seen in the night sky this week?
This month, we have great planets available for us to see, and I really encourage everyone to take a few minutes this weekend coming up to go outside and get a look at two of the brightest planets of our solar system, Jupiter and Mars. They are going to be sliding up close to each other Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then on Saturday, they'll be at their closest point to each other that they have been in years, what we call a conjunction where two planets sort of line up. So we have a planetary alignment happening 6:30 in the morning over in the eastern sky. Now, down low to the horizon, little Mercury is down there pretty close, but zooming up from the horizon over the next week will be Saturn as well. So we have these two close approaches of planets happening in these first 2 weeks of January. So I highly recommend Saturday morning, 6:30 in the morning, or any of those mornings around there where the sky is clear, get out for 10 minutes and take a look at what the three wise men may have seen as a candidate for what was known in biblical references as the Star of Bethlehem. Just two of the three planets, but at least it'll give you an idea of what they might have seen when they were making their way across the Mideast regions about 2,000 years ago.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.